The work of righteousness brings peace, and the effect of righteousness brings quietness and confidence forever. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, in yesterday's program, Ken introduced the first of a three-part series called A Real Retreat. And in that first program, he presented retreat as a means to recover true rest. He talked about the promise of rest, the premise of rest, and the practice of rest. Well, in today's program, he'll focus on retreat through reflection, the looking upward to God. So in just a moment, Kenneth will examine the place of reflection, the posture of reflection, and the point of reflection in part two of the program titled A Real Retreat.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you again. We're talking about what a real retreat is in this series. And we started out by considering the first aspect of rest. And this is really about looking inwardly at ourselves. And if we use a physical illustration, this is like stopping at the traffic lights when it turns red. We stop to rest. We have considered yesterday the promise of rest from Hebrews chapter 4. And then we also considered the premise of rest, going back to the Old Testament in Exodus 23, about the divine decrees for Sabbath rest. And this leads us to the third aspect, which is the practice of rest. This takes place in two ways. First, there is a need for daily and recurrent rest. This is the personal aspect. In Mark chapter 1, we have no better example than Jesus' personal example of the time that he spends alone with God the Father, what I call the morning watch. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, that is Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Then that single verse and statement, we have encapsulated for us a concise picture of what the morning watch entails for the Lord Jesus, and what it should be for us as well. Notice, by the way, the Bible's definition of early. It's a long while before daylight. So it's not just a morning watch, but more like watching for the dawn. I understand that we all have different schedules and commitments or natural biases in our biorhythms and body clocks. But it makes really good sense to meet God first at the dawn of the day before you must meet the demands of the day. So we have to go around all these natural and justifiable factors and still make some provision for putting and meeting God first every day before we meet all the other people and things that we have to do for that day. Jesus was no exception. When he was on the road in ministry, he had very little, if any, privacy. Leisure was unknown. He was constantly surrounded by people with all their demands and requests. And yet we find that he made the time by getting up extra early. If the household he stayed with would be up and about by, say, 6 a.m. in the morning, he could get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. We're told in verse 35, having risen a long while before daylight. He not only made time in his busy schedule, but he made or found the space to give himself to undistracted communion with God. We're told in the same verse that he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He found a place where he would not be disturbed by others, where he could be alone with God, at least for that period of time, before the demands of the day descended upon him. So friends, if you want to have the practice of rest, you need to do the same. You need to schedule it into your daily routine. Time spent communing with God alone is time well spent. You'll find otherwise that the day can be lost through dissipation. You may be running around, trying to do a lot of things, but much of it will be just like flapping the wings rather than really flying effortlessly. Like the eagle, soaring high and majestically over the airstreams. Time alone with God is not solitary confinement, but it's a solitary communion with God, and it brings rest to our burdened souls. And the more we understand and see this, the more we will not neglect it, and the more we will desire it. So first, there is the daily and the recurrent practice of rest on a personal basis. Secondly, there is the occasional and intermittent practice of rest on a group basis. And in the same Gospel of Mark, which is characteristically the Gospel of Action, so it's very relevant to find out the secret of rest behind the outward action and how it can be sustained. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. This would be what we normally call and describe as a retreat, when a group gets away from the crowds and the daily routine to rest and to be refreshed by a time of quietness and solitude. Here we find Jesus and his band of disciples amidst much activity. They were coming and going all the time during a busy period of ministry. They found themselves constantly surrounded by much people with no privacy and little leisure. And this cannot go on indefinitely. We are told that they didn't even have the leisure to eat properly. You can go without sleep or food for a time, but not indefinitely for a long time. The spiritual law of diminishing returns must set in. You don't get more done, you get less accomplished. During peak seasons of busyness, it is easy to get carried away by the tide of activity or even ministry, without realizing it, until the breaking waves crash hard on the shore. We may push ourselves to the limits, without realizing that we may have been over the limit for quite some time. That's when it may get potentially dangerous and destructive. We should therefore schedule short rest stops or little retreats so as to come aside with the Lord to a quiet place away from the press of the crowds, just like Jesus did with his disciples. You see, if we don't take time to come apart for rest, I guess we will soon come apart. The key to a real retreat is to come away by yourselves, but with Jesus. It's not to rest indefinitely, but to rest a while. It's to go to a deserted place, away from the crowds, so that they may come back to the crowds and minister to them and be back in the thick of action after they have been rejuvenated. So the key is to come to the Lord Jesus. As he said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is the distinguishing feature between a time of retreat with the Lord or just another getaway to unwind. The true value or takeaway from a spiritual retreat is to be renewed and rejuvenated by the presence of the Lord. It's finding the rest in Jesus again for weary and burdened souls. These are like the silas that we find in some psalms, which are strategic stops or pauses to catch the breath and to ponder more deeply in order to let the things that have been spoken about sink in. So such occasional and intermittent retreats as a group are a good way to start off a new season or a phase in life, in work, or in ministry. Now, let us go on to the second aspect of what constitutes a real retreat, and this is to reflect. This is about looking upward to God, and it corresponds with the second stage of our traffic lights. When the lights turn amber, we get into the ready position. Reflection involves an attentive consideration to a subject, with a conclusion resulting from it. It brings added insight to ourselves. As we see the image of ourselves in the mirror or in still water. This is like the water of the Word of God, which fulfills the function of our mirror. And stillness in the waters is required to see the reflected image clearly. First, let's look at the place of reflection. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not." Note first of all that this is based on what the Lord God says, and not on man's ideas. "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel." And what does he say? There are two things in this verse. First, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. So he speaks here of salvation, and that is about hope. And secondly, it says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. It speaks of strength, and that is about help. When we seriously and quietly reflect on God's word, what he says, it brings salvation and strength. It brings hope and help. This chapter begins in verse 1 with an admonition for stubbornly carrying out their own plans, doing their own things in their own ways, and not relying on God but on man. God says to them, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who takes counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." When we do this, we get into a rut and we get into confusion. We sometimes talk about R&R as rest and recreation. This is the spiritual R&R that is needed. First is to repent and return to God. And when we do that, we shall be delivered and saved so as to find rest for our souls. But it's not only repentance which enables us to return to God, but also release to God. We release to God as self is stilled and no longer kicking around to try to assert itself. We have a beautiful picture of this painted in Psalm 131. "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me." Verse 2, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." It's very hard to help someone who is struggling and thrashing around in the water. But when self is stilled, it is easy to release to God. Back into the book of Isaiah, in chapter 32, verse 18, we have a line also describing this state. "My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." We can imagine a peaceful physical setting like this, but it speaks so much more of the secure, peaceful, and quiet spiritual resting places that we have in Christ. This should be our habitation, our dwelling place. This is where we should live, in the place of continuous communion with God. And the verse preceding this in Isaiah 32 verse 17 says this, "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." What this speaks of is the result of righteousness, and that comes from a right relation with God. Therefore, peace, quietness and assurance should not just be sought as ends in themselves. They proceed from righteousness, and the work of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. And this exercise of reflecting, the place of reflection, begins with seeing my true spiritual state in the searching light of God's Spirit and truth. Next, let us consider the posture of reflection. Let's go to another psalm, this time in Psalm 37, and reading from verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." When we take time to wait patiently, the waters will be stilled so that the sediment and the dregs all settle down and make clear reflections possible. In this verse, we have a unique word for rest or be still. It literally means to cause to fall and to let go. In other words, to release, as we have described earlier. This comes from an attitude of adoring rather than analyzing. When we're worshiping God, we adore, we don't analyze. It's about enjoying the presence of God by delighting in Him, as it says in verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I've mentioned this at some other talks before, and it bears repeating. The principal word meanings for worship are in the Old Testament Hebrew, to bow self down, and in the New Testament Greek is to kiss the hand toward. And both of these meanings find expression in our physical posture of worship. We sometimes kneel or prostrate ourselves in worship. At other times, we lift our hands and our faces to God in reverent worship. Waiting on God is the heart of worship. To wait means to be at His call and bidding. It means to be ready all the time, to stand on tiptoe, to be attentive, and to be expectant. Do you know what waiting does for us? Waiting purifies our purpose. God puts us in situations, sometimes where we are at our wits' end, and we cannot do anything but to wait. It truly puts us in our place, to realize that we ourselves are nothing and can do nothing, but that He is everything and He controls all things. And by this means, He instills in us the instinct of total dependence and boundless confidence in Him. This is what the posture of reflection through reverential worship does for us. And thirdly, let us consider the point of reflection. By that I mean, what's the point or the end of this whole exercise of reflection? Can any good come out of this, as some of them said concerning Nazareth in Jesus' time? Well, here is the point, in the words of the psalmist in Psalm 46, verse 10. You will notice that we have been going into the Psalms very frequently. It is in fact the best textbook and reference book for any spiritual retreat. Here is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. If you ask what's the point or the end of this whole exercise of reflection, it's just here. It's to be still so that we know that He is God. That is, we realize the reality of His sovereign rule in all of our life situations. It means seeing Him enthroned over everything, all that we encounter now and find ourselves in. When He is enthroned in our hearts, He will be exalted among the nations and the peoples around us. Worship gets transmuted into witness as it moves from the private closet to the public square. So there is a further and a larger end to reflection in a retreat than just helping ourselves to feel better and to feel good. And the same applies to worship. And that larger and higher end is that He may be exalted amongst the peoples and the nations. If we do not know God through being still, we cannot really help others to know that He is God. Can you see and understand that? We can never see this clearly when our mental horizons are cluttered with lesser things in life. But once self is stilled, we come instantly into His light, and then we begin to see all things in that eternal light. We see Jesus only and no one else, just as the disciples experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration. Things get clarified when they are simplified. And you know, it doesn't get simpler than one. So the focus of the whole exercise is simply to re-establish Christ-centeredness in our lives. When the reality and glory of Christ shines on our faces, just as Moses' face shone when he came down from the mountain, worship gets transformed to witness. The essence of witness is exalting God in the world. It's not we trying to be or to do things in ourselves, but rather God's presence in us and His power working through us. And as you reflect on these meditations, may you be refreshed by the Lord's presence and be reached by His word.
Waiting on God is the heart of worship. So God puts us in situations where we cannot do anything but wait on Him to instill in us the instinct of total dependence and confidence in Him. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And join us again tomorrow for part 3 of the series called A Real Retreat. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.